Basically, the awareness-based meditation, if I may say, is like really like a paradigm shift
Paradigm shift. Very,
from the
that is the right
thought-based,
word. Yeah.
thought-based meditation. And it sort of bring us to another, if I may use your quote, is almighty nature rolling
Yeah,
by.
yeah. That one is a very good advice from my teacher, Ajahn Yantra. Because the whole of existential is nature's law operating. That's why I say everything is just the way it is. Because mighty nature rolling by. You cannot interfere.
Yeah, maybe I want to share some experience I have.
Oh,
I
sadhu.
think probably about 7 years ago, I was practicing Tai Chi until quite intense, and suddenly I'm basically short-sighted. While I practiced Tai Chi, I took up my spec, and as I go on, everything becomes very, very bright, very,
What
very clear.
sadhu?
And then suddenly there's a sense that my body is merging with the environment,
Environment, the
but my
oneness
mind
nature.
is still there.
Yes,
It's a
sadhu.
very instant
Yeah,
thing.
yeah, yeah. That moment you were, the awareness will be aware of that, that you are in the oneness, but the thought is still there.
So it's like a oneness.
Yeah, you are one with the whole nature.
That's why when I hear your teaching about four circle,
That one you
I have
start to
faith.
develop the
I have
understanding.
faith. I have faith.
Yeah,
And your word
sadhu.
about mighty nature rolling by, I have
Yeah,
faith. It's
sadhu.
really nature.
Yeah,
It's part of
it's
nature.
really nature. No need almighty.
We have to live with nature. That's the main thing.
Correct. That word is very powerful. Man and nature must harmonize. You understand? That is what feng shui is all about. If you go against, you will get into trouble. So man and nature, you are actually together one. Without nature, man or living being cannot exist. That's why the Zen got a saying, all is one. One is all. The whole universe is what it is today. It's because of each and every one of us, or individual. If without you all, the universe will not be what it is today. Why? Because each and every one of us has evolved for so many billions and billions or eons of existence, birth and death, birth and death. Although your life may not be significant, but without that, the world will not be what it is today. You understand? Well, every life you come, all your action, speech, and thought process, they trigger off the chain of dependent origination as well. So once they take one out, the universe will not be what it is today, really. So now you understand why the Zen say, one is all is one. Well, without any of the one, this totality cannot be what it is. So that is the understanding. So man and nature must harmonize. Very good. Sadhu.
That takes me to your teaching on the right view. So when you say about right view, we have the order of the karma,
Correct.
which strikes me very deep in. Because in the Theravada teaching, yes, there is, but it didn't sort of bring that much
Correct. It
emphasis.
didn't explain so deeply how it operates, the law of karma. You reap what you sow. Do good because good, do evil. We have people just rattle it out. Just like the first number two, life is suffering. They don't go in already. They eat reality or they don't teach you already. They mention in the text, but no explanation, no elaboration on how to develop the initial wisdom out of it, then the second turning wisdom, then the third turning wisdom. Very good.
In the Theravada, as far as I know, when they talk about right view, they always tell you is Four Noble Truths,
Yeah, correct.
dependent origination,
Yeah.
five aggregates, but very little say about karma. So I think your teaching is or your sharing is very extensive because it covered the whole loop. The whole loop is covered.
The whole of life. That's why I say when I saw the Four Noble Truths first time in 1973, I said no need to search it. Nobody in this universe 2,000 years ago can come up with that understanding to summarize all of life. mundane and supramundane, no, into just four noble truths. No. Even I said that time, even if I had the enlightenment of what the Buddha had realized, I cannot summarize all the understanding into four noble truths. But it involves so much understanding, no. But yet he can do it because he is a Sammasambuddha. Very good.
And right view is the first
path factor.
Path factor, which is very key to our
the whole cultivation of the way over. Well, when your view is wrong, all the other path factor collapse. Your thought will be wrong. Your action, speech, livelihood will be wrong. Then all your effort goes the wrong direction because you don't have the right view. That's why the Buddha is very wise. All the essential Dhamma that he actually taught, he phrased it in the correct order. Even the five spiritual faculty. He says Saddha first. No. Without Saddha, Virya cannot come. Then without Virya to push you, you won't cultivate Sati. Then if Sati doesn't stabilize, Samadhi cannot arise. Without Sati, Samadhi, wisdom cannot arise. That's why the order is very clear. The Avijja Sutta also, the 10th step. The order is very clear, and he never contradicts himself.
Avijja Sutta, I think in the last closing paragraph of the Sutta, the Buddha described, if you go through the whole thing, it's just like the water from the mountain flowing down to fill up all your rivers.
Correct.
You know, so it's basically explaining to you the nature. The whole nature has to go on this.
Well, this is the way nature operates. So when you understand the flow. Then when you understand the flow, you know how to reverse it. How you fall, like the four circle formation, that is how you come back. And the coming back is not by a being. It's by the form and mind that is law, developing the wisdom through the awareness nature to realize itself and cease. If that one don't cease, you cannot return. Understand? So that one cease, there is nobody to return, but the cessation automatically brings the cultivator that is together with the five aggregate of form and mind back to realize the unconditioned. So when it goes into the unconditioned, which is Nibbana, inside there is the unconditioned. That's why you cannot talk about it, you cannot describe, and you cannot like try to explain in words. Well, this state is the unconditioned. No word can actually describe it, like the Tao. Whatever that can be talked about, speak about, or discussed is not the true Tao. Tao ke Tao, Fei Chang Tao. And all this become very clear. Yet the Tao is not something that you can describe or talk about. Whatever that can be described and talked about is not the true Tao. Where is the unconditioned? It's the totality, the oneness, the source. No word one. That one is just that original nature, that nature itself. Very good. Sadhu.
Yeah, I like your explanation of conditioned Dhamma and
That one also very powerful. To understand that thing is just the way it is, your reality is, truth is, suchness. That one you must get it in until you understand. No? Then you won't try to go back to the old way. One thing thinks your way. That one is the egoic mind. Well, you feel that what happened is not good for you. That's why there is this selfishness. So you want things to be otherwise, like suicide, should have not. Or all the craving that you want. Then you say, why is that? Why me? So this thing, if it has not have happened, then I would have. It's all not a reality. You talk about it for what? It's like the saying, chui gong, kaki song. Because it will not help you. Understand? Like you praise yourself, oh, I'm so good, so good. You say all this, holo kaki song. Because that is not the reality. The reality is no need to talk. That thing is that thing. That's how we understand it. Then the cultivator of the way will see it very clearly. Oh, very good. You pick out a lot at this time around.
The other thing, I think, when I say paradigm shift, I just want to share my paradigm shift in the sense that Basically, this awareness-based meditation, you're basically dropping off whatever thoughts you have, and you're going back to your pure mind.
Yes.
Whereas in the normal thought base, you are trying to cultivate your mundane mind to supramundane, which is quite tough.
Because the supramundane is beyond thought, beyond mind. So if your instrument is thought, how can you realize it? You understand? Or not? It's just like the scientist. If your microscope can only magnify 10 times, whatever that is smaller than that, you cannot see already. Understand? Or not? So the Buddha said the Dhamma is akaliko, beyond thought, beyond time. But the instrument you use to approach it is thought, which is limited. And how can you use thought to try to realize a state of understanding that is beyond thought? Impossible. Understand? That's why I said thought-based doom.
That's why to achieve that through to arahatship, I think is very difficult.
Yeah, but when you understand it very easy, like Cindy, when he heard the teaching, there is two minds. One is the true mind, and the other one is the dependent, orienting, mundane mind, thinking mind. She straight away awakened.
I mean, if you go on to the top base,
it lead you to Holland. You cannot come back because you analyze, keep on analyzing. Then coming out with justification, reasoning. And thought divide, you cannot see. Thought egoic, you cannot see. Thought is limited, you cannot see. So because of that, without mindfulness, you are like blind. That's why the Buddha said, heedfulness is the path to the deathless. The heedless are as if dead. Very true. Well, without mindfulness, how can you be heedful? If you are not heedful, you are as if dead. Spiritually, you don't stand a chance. Good?